Faith Strong Today presents WikiGod with Mark Grollo. Hear new episodes every Wednesday and subscribe to the podcast at faithstrongtoday.com.
Well, hey friends, this is WikiGod, our stories shaping God in Toronto. And I'm your host, Mark Grollo, and this is the uncut Faith Strong Today edition of the show. What is WikiGod? It is a safe place. It is a place where we can admit, you know what, I'm not a know-it-all about God, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What do you think about God? That's why we talk about God with each other. We ask, what are you doing? What am I doing? Let's compare notes. And that might lead to new things for you, for me, but we're doing this together. Well, this week, we are Wikiing God with Ali Rainey and Zoe Newman, also known as The Lovelocks. They are a band that is blowing up right now all across the country. And so I sit down and talk with them. They tell me about how music influenced them as children and how the two of them met and why they decided to form a band together and what it's like to work with a best friend. So we also kind of start exploring what's the difference between a band of Christians and a Christian band. You know, I take issue with the word Christian as an adjective. So they talk about that, and that's something Ali and Zoe were very intentional about at the outset. Band of Christians versus a Christian band. And they talk about, they share how every industry can benefit from Christians working in it, rather than ghettoizing into Christian huddles with our Christian adjectives. And that's especially true of the music industry for them. And finally, you know, you're going to hear them share how faith is integral to life for them and their work and their relationships together. So this is a fascinating conversation. Two people who are really, really exploding in the music industry. Let's get to it. Let's wiki some God right now with Ali Rainey and Zoe Newman, The Lovelocks.
I hope that you're not quite as... The photo on your new single is quite intimidating. You're not quite as like severe as that in person.
Those intimidating,
looks,
huh?
Those looks that you're giving us.
Our saucy eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say smoldering or something. But are you going to be as smoldering on the mic as you are in that?
Definitely.
Okay.
I'm working on it right now.
Ali says definitely. And so people have got to get to know your voices. So that was Ali who's promising to be smoldering.
Hello. Extra smoldery.
All right. Good. So let's kind of dive into your... You guys have kind of a wild ride, a wild musical ride. Sounds like Disney or something. But can we get back to kind of your early... I don't want to ask that question, you know, what bands did you grow up listening to? I'm not going to ask that. But what about music? I want to kind of zoom out to more music, because not all of us decide to professionally make music. So what... Do you remember music or certain bands having an effect on you, an emotional effect on you growing up? Was there a certain like, oh, music, I love music?
Yeah, I grew up in a really musical family, so it was just kind of natural that people would often say, you know, oh, are you gonna play violin when you're older? You know, because my parents put me into violin at the age of 3, so it was like a very defining part of my childhood and my teen years and everything. And I wouldn't say specifically that there was a band that really kind of propelled me into pursuing music professionally. It was actually more teachers. So I went to university and did a music degree, and I studied with a professor there who was a cellist, actually, and he was a jazz cellist. And for me, I grew up playing classical violin, so to take a lesson with a jazz cellist was very outside of the box. And he had toured with Alison Krauss and the Dixie Chicks, Amanda Marshall, all these really cool artists as a cellist. And I was like, I can do that. And I was never interested in pursuing violin classically, like the classical music side. I didn't want to play in orchestras professionally. And so learning that you could tour, that you could be in a band, because I also sang, I was really interested in doing both. And so that really made a huge impact on me that there were other options.
So it was like the playing and the doing of music that
and got singing
you into
and
it.
Doing it all together.
Cool.
Yeah.
Zoe, do you have an answer to that?
I do. It's funny. So I grew up in a really strict Christian home.
Okay.
So we always joke that I have no understanding of pop culture prior to the year of 1992.
We should high five across the
group. I know.
That's
seriously.
Totally my story.
Give me some knuckles.
Totally my story.
So funny.
What's your magic year? 92?
92, I'd say. Like, yeah. Okay. Somewhere around there where I was conscious that there was a radio that I could access through my alarm clock.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
just changed my world.
Right.
What was that? Like Ace of Base?
Oh, totally. Ace
All
of Base.
All that she wants is another baby.
TLC is in those good
go
old
chasing waterfalls,
good old
Zoe.
1990s.
So you're like gorilla listening to it? Like
oh,
what?
I absolutely
yeah,
was. And
okay.
I had these little tapes that I would stick into my yeah. alarm clock tape recorder.
Okay.
And I had to listen to it really quietly yeah. so that my parents didn't know that I was doing that. But
I used to listen to Tom Green at night, like the Ottawa University radio station. I don't think anybody
oh, really?
Remembers that his start, but like... It was so, like, forbidden. Like, Tom Green
so
at midnight on Ottawa U's. Yeah.
How
it was,
dare you?
That's when
I'm
going to
tell your parents
there was
on you.
So, 92.
92. So, I think...
You discovered
so, I
music.
Grew up... Well, I grew up listening to the good old Amy Grants of the world.
All right. Another high five.
Sandy Patty. Guys, I feel so left out. I don't.
This
don't
is
feel left
when
out.
When you have a normal upbringing, you get yeah. left out, Allie.
Yeah.
When we find each other, the messed up ones find each other.
Which was actually funny because last week, Allie and I were in the Bahamas doing a few gigs, and we actually met Gary Chapman.
Oh, wow.
And
who
know,
I didn't know.
I
and
have,
I,
really?
Of course.
And
okay.
I was enthralled.
Allie, you can excuse yourself.
It.
This is just
I know.
The Zoe. This is the Zoe.
She is only.
Exactly. And DC Talk.
Wow.
Like, anyway,
Gary
so.
Gary Chapman.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, an idol because I grew up listening
what's,
to him.
What's Gary up to these days?
Oh, he's doing his
he?
Thing. He's
is
songwriting.
He?
He's yeah,
still,
he released a new
okay.
album not too long ago.
Okay.
And
he writes
he's got
for
a,
other artists.
He writes for a lot
okay.
of other artists and he does a lot of production,
hmm.
video and music production.
Okay.
So, and he's got a beautiful wife and a new baby hmm. and. Anyway, so he's doing great.
Huh.
But it was funny. So I grew up on Christian music. And then when I discovered the power of AM/FM radio uh-huh. Through my alarm clock, I remember specifically listening to and being enthralled with female artists. Mm. The Amanda Marshalls, the
okay.
TLCs.
Okay.
Like I learned to sing on Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember a friend of mine got tickets to Lilith Fair. And that was a really... impactful experience for me because uh-huh. just being surrounded by so many women.
But how are you like allowed to go to that? But just from what you're describing.
Oh, it
like,
was a fight.
Okay.
It was a fight.
It,
actually, okay. I think my pastor at the time spoke out against
oh, yeah.
Lilith Fair.
For
like
sure.
it was not favorable to be
no.
going because it was filled with witchcraft
yeah.
or something. I don't know. But
lots
I can't remember
potions.
What it was.
Yeah,
so many potions. Yeah, anyways, I think it was the first time I smelled weed.
Okay. Smelled.
But,
she said smelled.
I don't
yeah,
know what
smell.
Weed smells like, guys.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding.
Such an angel
you
over there.
You actually believe me?
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Look how innocent you still are. You know what? Allie, I believe the best in people, including you.
Yes.
Oh, anyway, so I remember so being
we may have
so,
just crossed over into the explicit iTunes.
Oh, I know. The red E.
Yeah.
But I remember that being such an impactful experience for me, watching the Indigo Girls and watching Sarah McLachlan, watching Jewel, and watching the camaraderie of women performing together, and just the impact that that festival had on Toronto and the rest of Canada and where they toured to. And I just remember that being so impressionable for me, the idea of women getting up on stage and representing something and coming together and creating a bit of movement. And that was a really defining moment for me specifically.
Wow. Wow. So now that you guys are kind of doing music and making music, what's it like to kind of balance day jobs or whatever it is you do to pay the bills with kind of the discipline of making music together? How do you balance that? Because a lot of people do, you know, amateur stuff. You guys are way beyond amateur, and I think that's the step, right? That's when you realize, wow, this is going to consume a lot of time. How do you manage that?
Honestly, I feel like it's like anything else. You just do. You just figure it out as you go, and you make changes as you need to. And if you're pursuing something that you feel very passionate about and feel led to, and it's something that you want to pursue, then you're going to make it work. And it's tough. You know, we basically both have essentially two full-time kind of jobs in addition to being you know, I'm a wife, Zoe's about to get married, and, you know, just having a life with friends and pets and, yeah, so it's tough, but it's also so rewarding at the same time. You know, we're working really hard to make our music career happen, and we'd love for that to become a reality long term. You know, to be making music as our sole career path.
Are there demands in terms of, I mean, where did you make your EP? You got to go to Nashville and do that thing?
Yes.
So you need to take chunks of time off.
Yeah, and I think both Allie and I have been, as time has gone on and we've been going on this journey, you realize when you need to make those decisions to quit the day job and go freelance, or create, like for me, that was a process that I had to go through, or to know how to structure your work life so that you can take those blocks of time off. And that sometimes means sacrifice. I mean, but for the best reason. It's for a passion and to do what you love to do. But for me, I was climbing a corporate ladder and I walked away from that, to pursue this. And it's because it's my heart and my soul. And when else am I going to do this? I can always go back to a corporate world if I need to, but this is an experience that potentially only comes once in a lifetime. So you take the jump and you structure your life to make it happen.
And it's scary when you realize that, like, if I don't take this, I'll always wonder,
well, there's
what would have happened if I had made the time.
And you make comfortable or sacrifices to live a comfortable life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Allie and I still live in apartments, you know what I mean? All of our friends have bought houses, and, you know, all of those things, you make decisions to structure your life in a way that allows you to pursue your dream.
Yeah.
And sometimes you feel a little bit left behind, but in the best way, because you're so fulfilled in other areas. So it's a choice, I think. It's a real choice.
And I guess at a certain point you can, like, go to iTunes or whatever and say, I don't have an apartment, but I got that thing. Like, when you're talking about what you don't have or do have, it's anybody, even educationally, a master's, a PhD, or whatever, we seem to look at this standard of who has the house, the picket fence, the minivan. I don't know. That seems to be a weird standard.
I really want a minivan.
May all your dreams come
true.
I
really don't.
I just want to wish that upon you. May all your dreams come true. Can we talk a bit about kind of the formulation of the Lovelocks, how you guys came together? Was there kind of, first of all, before you guys found each other, whatever that meant, I don't know, were you childhood friends or?
We met both singing in church, actually, in our teens. And we were both on the worship team at the Meeting House in Oakville, Ontario. And we both kind of played the same role on the team. So we never were scheduled on the same weeks. So we'd always see each other up there leading and, you know, kind of wonder. We talked after, obviously, who is that? And, you know, I like her voice or whatever. And eventually kind of started to hang around with the same friends and slowly got to meet each other. And we actually also dated the same boy.
Okay.
Not at the same time. Clarification. He was very handsome.
Yes.
But not the right man for either of us.
Okay.
That's right. So we both dumped him. And then we got a best friend out of it.
We found each other.
Wonderful.
It was amazing.
Poor guy.
No,
how's he doing now?
He's a great guy.
Yeah, right?
Happy.
His name is Gary Chapman, isn't it?
How did you know?
No, he's a great guy. And we joke. But that is really the story, is that we just kind of became friends through singing at church and having the same friend group eventually. And then all of those friends started to get married or, you know, there were community fundraisers, mission trips, like different things going on where they needed people to play music. And so they knew that we both sang. So, you know, we'd get the invite to come and sing at a friend's wedding. And so we'd start to collaborate. And we both, you know, led some retreats for various church events. And
at one point we thought we'd create a woman's worship band,
which... Can I say that we're really glad we didn't do that?
I was going to say, or I thought you were going to say, which still may happen, but that was the total opposite.
Maybe in our 40s. We're not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sold on the women's ministry conferences, but.
Well, here's an off-list question now that we bring it up. Like, what? So do you guys look at, like, the Sarah McLachlans and these? Do you look at what might lie in the future, even if you make it, quote unquote. Like, what is it? These bands that come on, okay, you said TLC or whatever. Like, what is that?
My
like,
dream. Destiny's huge. Child.
Yeah, like they're huge for a while, and then like, do you know what happens? Just as a kind of professional musician, is your future creating women's bands? Is that like what?
That's so good. I mean, I can only see as far as the Lovelocks personally at this point. So who knows what comes after this, but I think there's so many paths you can take after that, whether it's...
Because you guys are meeting musicians and producers.
Yeah. Whether it's writing, continuing to write, whether it's, you know, getting into the business side of music, mentoring.
Yeah.
Maybe we both just go off and have families. Like who knows what the next step is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now we feel like we are where we're supposed to be in doing the Lovelocks, and that's what's important.
I think a huge... example of a band of women that we really look up to that are doing their career and their life and sort of blending all that together really well is the Dixie Chicks.
Mm-hmm.
We're a country band and we get compared to them all the time, which is a huge compliment because we're big fans.
And your puppy's name.
And my puppy is named Dixie and it's after the Dixie Chicks, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, I think... there's a real acceptance of men getting older and aging in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bat an eye at the 50 and 60 year old rockers, the Mick Jaggers, the Steven Tylers coming back up on stage 20 years after they've released their latest single.
Yeah.
And celebrating those old rockers, you know, and celebrating who they are and what they contribute. And it's not as common for you to see older women coming back and going through motherhood and bodies changing and, you know, getting old. And it's just, it's a different conversation. And
but your
so,
tour, like you have toured, or I don't know if you're with Terry Clark, right?
Yeah.
And so that's someone who you're describing, it seems, a little bit.
Well, she's not as old as the people that I'm thinking. She's only in her 40s.
Okay. But she's been around a long time. Like, she's somebody who has staring power
in
the industry.
Absolutely.
There seems to be, like, times where she's quiet and then times where she's touring.
Yeah.
That must be about a certain life rhythm. I don't know anything about
and
Terry. But
you have to find ways to redefine yourself and your brand, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, and Zoe and I, obviously, we're still very much in the beginning of our career and still getting our music out there and sort of setting up what this is going to be, what we hope it's going to be. So it's hard to really know what it's going to look like exactly. But I think that for us, because there's two of us and because we are so committed to this and feel very strongly about our music and what we represent and what we have to say, that there is going to be ways for us to have families and to tour and to make it work and for just us to live a completely different life than our friends. And you know, some people don't understand it, and you know, some people, you know, question what we're doing and if it's wise and, you know, all that stuff. And then you have kids and it's like, oh my gosh, is that good for your child and whatever. But there are ways to do it. And like I was saying, the Dixie Chicks, I think, have a really great way of bringing their families along. And it's all part of it's a business, essentially. You're building like a family business.
So the rest of this interview was going to be, are you sure this is why? I was going to ask you all those questions. Are you sure this is wise? So I should change those questions.
So is the interview over? Is that what you're saying?
No, I got a lot more.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just going to change my tack now. Could we go back a bit to like, so you talked about seeing Zoe from afar on a stage and vice versa.
Yeah.
What happened? Did you sing? Was there a first time of singing together? Like, our voices work together, or were you thrown on the stage on the same week or what?
Yeah. I have a very specific memory of the first time where something sparked for me where I was like, this might be a thing.
Yeah.
And we were singing at a friend's wedding. And after the ceremony, I think about 15 people came up to me specifically. I don't know if they came up to you as well, Ali, but they kept saying how we sounded like sisters when we sang, and that our blending and what we had going on was just something special. And I always felt like that when I sang with Ali. Like, we love we loved singing together. Like, we always collaborated when we could and had a lot of fun doing it. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time where there was some external confirmation of what I was feeling internally about it. Mm. And I just remember that so specifically. I remember the exact church that we were singing in. I remember who came up to us afterwards. I remember where we sang. I remember the songs, like everything. It's just kind of baked in my mind as a real confirmation experience. So that for me was something. Mm.
I totally know the wedding you're talking
about.
Do you?
Yeah, I totally do.
Yeah.
And so that's when you thought, you said it might be a thing. How did you pursue that? I mean, I've read in your bio on your site, you get together at a certain point and start in your living rooms on Sunday afternoons.
Songwriting.
Is that a thing where you're just like, let's try something?
We did. It was actually that specific. Mm-hmm. So I was going through a bit of a, I don't know, like a period of growth in my life, mm-hmm. and wanted to pursue more creativity. I was meeting with a spiritual director, mm. and I just remember being confused about the career path that I had chosen, yep. and wasn't sure, you know, which way I was going, kind of thing. And really felt like something was inside me trying to come out, and I didn't know how to.
Was music kind of strictly a hobby thing, or?
I was
very
working,
much on the margins.
I was actually working in music ministry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And being paid a full-time salary to lead worship. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought I wanted to do with my life. And I felt that was, you know, what God wanted of me. And I think I made that assumption because in my mind, music plus God equals you must work in a church and lead people in music.
Right. That old chestnut.
Exactly, right? And I had never actually paused long enough to really dig deeper than that and consider maybe A plus B didn't equal C and it equaled D or E or F. And so...
And it was a spiritual director that maybe kind of nudged you that way?
I was very confused and a friend suggested the spiritual director, which I ended up meeting with for a year actually. Oh. And it was a wonderful time of prayer and discernment and just like getting down to the basics of my life and what I really felt God was saying and where he wanted to use me. And anyways, long story short, it basically came out that I wanted to explore writing music, songwriting, and very specifically, I wanted to do that with Zoe. Hmm. And one day I remember going over to her house and I immediately started crying. I don't know why I was so emotional, but it was just like attached to something very core within me.
That and you guys are friends at this point.
We're friends
like,
at this point.
It's not a crazy lady
on
the doorstep.
No. This was after we had wondered if we should start a girl Jesus band.
Okay. Yeah. Just for some context.
No, we were super close. And I just basically asked her, like, would she be interested in exploring this with me? And I had no idea what it was going to be. And I, on the side, I was also working in the music industry as a hired side musician. Okay. So what that means is, and in the country world specifically, so a country artist would call me to play fiddle and sing background vocals.
Right.
So I was doing that on the side. And so had some inroads with some industry people and, you know, different record labels and stuff. And so once we started songwriting and doing trips down to Nashville, it just very quickly evolved into more conversations with kind of key industry people that started to take notice. And it just very quickly
snowballed,
became something
special. That's exciting. It quickly snowballed. And was it those key people that you were meeting? Because I was going to ask you, how do you meet those people? Like the people that you're listing on this next EP or album or whatever. It's like the Gavin Slate and the Doc Walker and the Travis Wood and these names that you're like these producers and songwriters.
Yeah.
You're just, how do you meet people like that in the industry so that you're music doesn't suck? Like there's like there is a theme that like
so you're saying our music doesn't suck.
You heard it here first.
You know what, we'll be on your show anytime. Way to butter us up.
I guess I'm seeing a theme though, like bands that when the music takes off and it's really good, it's like you get these kind of key industry people. Producers or kind of people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So how did you meet them?
It's a good question.
So that your music didn't suck.
I mean, I think the fact that Allie was already working in the industry definitely was the big door opener for us. And then we quickly aligned ourselves with a music label, who now is not just our label, but also our management.
Okay.
And we, after, you know, we had written a bunch of songs, we had signed a distribution deal with them, a production distribution deal with them. And they, obviously being in the country music world for a while, have key contacts. So they hooked us up with certain songwriters in Nashville. And through that experience, we then met our producer, and our other co-producer is one of the heads of the company of our label.
Okay.
So it's country music is a big family, especially in Canada. It's not that big actually. And people are super welcoming and wonderful and warm. Mm. And
they want you to succeed.
They want you to succeed. There's that real sense of support. So that was really, I mean, it's been fairly natural and organic to meet the key people. And also when you find somebody who you align with from a philosophy perspective, from a values perspective, if you have a really good write with them, you know, the relationship is formed and you know, you start to have a good understanding of who you're going to work well with and who maybe isn't the right fit for you. Mm. So we feel like at this point in the game, being kind of 3 years in, we've got a really good sense of who works with us really well and maybe who works with somebody else really well, maybe not us.
Yeah. The relationships are super
really important. Yeah. And so, and obviously we're always pursuing new relationships. That's something that's constantly evolving. But yeah, it's a small world and one person leads to the next. And if you're conducting yourself with integrity and, you know, if you're doing something that people are excited about, usually that leads to more great people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would affect your, is it affecting your sound as well? Do you think like your, the last two singles I find are much more palatable to someone who doesn't like country music? Does that sound, that sounds wrong again.
How dare you? Your compliments are just overwhelming today.
Yeah, I think.
No, but it's like, because, so the Dixie Chicks thing, like people are saying Dixie Chicks meets Lumineers meets Mumford and Sons, that kind of thing.
You
and I'm like, oh, I listened to those last two bands.
Yeah.
And it does have a bit of a different sound than your first EP. And I don't know if that's because of, you know, and I enjoy your first EP, but it's very country.
Sure. I think our first EP was a bit of an exploration for us, obviously, kind of just towing the water of who we were, what we had to say, what our sound was. We were still figuring that out. And so we were very intentional about putting a good mix of things on there just to see what would take.
Yeah.
And with the second EP, and I think the two singles you're referring to are Born to Love and Home Sweet Home, which are off of our upcoming EP that hasn't released yet.
Yeah.
We were much more clear this time around what our sound was.
Okay.
And we recorded this record 2 years after the first record.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot, as you can imagine, happens in those 2 years where you grow not only as people, but as musicians, as songwriters, and then life happens and you just have more to say and you've just developed more. So that certainly applies musically. And then to your question about, you know, does that kind of rub off from other people. I think for sure, you know, bringing in different songwriters, different producers, everybody has their sort of thing that they bring to the writing session or the recording session or whatever. And for sure there's, you know, everybody's fingerprints who were involved. But the collaboration part is honestly the best. It's my favorite part of recording and writing and just seeing what happens. But I think even in all of that, there's still a true voice that comes out, that is us, you know, because we're obviously so involved.
So how did you both kind of agree? Did you sit down and agree on country or like, how did that,
great question.
I was going to say, you obviously both have quite a repertoire of music, but maybe not Zoe. From 1992.
I know. From my hip hop days.
But yeah, you are talking about, like you mentioned other bands being early influences. You're like Lilith Fair or TLC.
Yeah,
or,
totally.
So how did you guys sit down and be like, country, let's...
Yeah.
Obviously you had an affinity or...
I think Dixie Chicks for me personally was a big, and Deanna Carter, like those were big door openers to me, into the world of country. Cause I grew up in Oakville and you know, country isn't big in the GTA necessarily.
Yeah. And I love how you guys are like, you know that about
we're city girls.
Yeah, yeah, you are. And so people kind of respond to you that way. Like, oh, they're a country band, but they're pretty good. Like,
it's pretty hilarious. Yeah. I know. We always get the qualifier. Yeah. But mostly in the city, though. We don't get that out.
Of course.
Out in the rural
areas. Nobody's saying that on CCMA.
We don't know anything about farming.
Yeah.
No, okay. We don't have tractors. Right. There are no hay bales in my backyard. No, we know nothing. It would be embarrassing.
You don't even have a
backyard. I know. I have an urban jungle as a backyard. But I think, yeah, there were certain door opener bands that I think both Allie and I were impactful, and the Dixie Chicks was one. Mm-hmm. It was the first band that went that I knew of that went mainstream in the country and brought country to the mainstream and just was so accessible and opened that whole world of country to me. But you know what? To be honest, this is something that Allie and I talk about a lot, because I naturally probably gravitate more towards the folk.
Okay.
Like rootsy side of music. And I love the singer-songwriter thing. I love indie bands. I love alt country. You know, I love that scene. Mm-hmm. And we both understand the need and the necessity for us to also make our music. We don't want to do house concerts our whole life. We want to be mainstream and we love doing house concerts. But we want to be accessible and we want to be on the radio, you know, and be mainstream. So you have to balance out that singer-songwriter thing with actually having a bit of pop in your style, having a little bit more shine than maybe I personally would like. I think Allie's probably a little bit more comfortable with that. But so we talk about this a lot. And I think one of the best things about being in a duo is the fact that you have two different perspectives and there's the yin and the yang, and the middle ground is where we find the Lovelocks. Yeah. And it actually has found a really great space for us in the country world, where it's like we're rootsy country. We're not shiny pop country, but we're accessible enough to be in that genre. Yeah. And that's important for us if we want to be of that world and in that world and be accessible.
Mm. I think we've found overall the consistent thread with all of this is that whenever we have a disagreement or there's like just a difference of opinion, we always get to a better place because of it.
Always.
There's like a third way that we wouldn't have discovered otherwise. And so I've begun to appreciate some of that. I'm like completely self-admittedly conflict averse. Like I hate it. But
so you're like the avoider.
I'm not the avoider.
And what is Zoe like? Just jump in.
No.
Get
no.
back here.
No. It's more just that I'm a people pleaser and I don't want her to be upset with me or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm working on it. But no, but it's really just like an exercise in...
Grow a spine, Rainey.
Oh, she's got a spine. She's got a healthy spine.
Like I said, I'm working on it. But no, it's like important to speak up when you feel something in your bones. This is not how I want to sound, or I don't like this take, or I don't like this lyric. Can we move this around or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if one of us feels strongly and then we have to have like an additional conversation about it to break it down and make it work for both of us, we always, always, always get to a way better place musically and creatively and just everything. Mm-hmm. It's funny how those conversations are actually creative in themselves.
I was thinking that's something that's, is it just me? Maybe I'm way off, but this is rare about you guys, like a two-member band. Like there's bands, 4-3-4-5, or, you know, solo artists. The duo thing, that's not a thing you see very often. So I don't know, am I wrong about that, or do you guys see a lot of that? I don't.
Yeah, I guess it's not as common as, say, a full band or a solo act, but for us, we both look at each other and think, I would never want to be a solo act.
No, I could never.
You know,
never.
We would neither of us would want that, and we wouldn't be doing this if it were that. And I think part of it is just the relationship that we have, the fact that we have a lot of fun doing this together, and we're best friends, and we're pursuing a dream and a passion together. Like, that's so much of the beauty of this experience for us.
Yeah.
But then the learning to get to a better creative place and to be in relationship doing that, you know, because you hear the bands who hate each other, but then they create awesome product out of that tension. It's like, we appreciate the tension, but we love each other and we, you know, but we want to keep the love, you know what I mean? So being in a band, we joke about how it's like a second marriage because
Zoe's my work wife.
I'm so her work wife. Not the naggy kind though, the really awesome kind.
Supportive.
Very supportive. But we joke about, like, I've learned so much about being in a relationship by being in a band with Allie and what that looks like.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll pay you
later.
I'm
just going to leave the room.
Yeah. We have like single tears running down our face right now. No, exactly. No, but it's true. And we've both, I think, learned a lot about how to be in conflict, but resolve it in a really healthy way, and how to get to a better place because of it.
It is very similar to marriage. And I know that sounds really weird, but it is, because we're constantly having to work together and having to move forward.
Like make schedules together.
Yeah, and we have a shared bank account. A business bank account. We do taxes together because we're a business. We travel together. We sleep in hotel rooms together. We get annoyed at each other because of, you know, I like the air conditioning on when I sleep and she doesn't. And it's like we have the all worst. These little things, right?
We should have led with that. That's fascinating stuff.
But this is like the life of a band on the road. Yeah. You're so intimately intertwined with each other that you have to really know how to be reconciled and how to forgive and
absolutely.
How to confess and how to bring up issues and how to just like keep things really healthy. And that's what I mean when I say it's similar to a marriage.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to wish that I were TMZ right now and I could ask you, like, so what is the worst thing about Zoe? Anyway, that's not our style, unfortunately.
Next episode, yes. That would be the sequel.
Can we kind of move more into your writing a little bit? Do you guys find that, like, when you sit down, you're writing, or even those early days when you were writing, whatever that looks like, you're sitting down, do you kind of have a take on love, or is there a certain element of being human that you find yourself writing about more or less, or what does that look like?
It's funny because with this album we really did articulate that we love exploring all sides of love, and it's probably no mistake that our name is The Love Locks. But we didn't know what that meant as it related to songs when we named our band. But it really is, a lot of our songs are about the passion of love, about heartbreak, about, you know, the angst in love, about working things out with somebody who you love but who you don't like in the moment, you know, and so it's all the different angles of love that we tend to sing about. And I'm pretty happy to be known as a band that sings about love, you know, and breaks it down. So yeah, I think that's the overall theme. It's not to say we won't stray from that now and then, but I think pretty much every song on our new album is about some form of love, whether it's lust or passionate love, true love, heartbreak. It's all the angles of it.
So it's the eyes wide
loving
shut
yourself.
Of a
yeah loving yourself
it's the shut. Eyes wide shut version of a country album.
Wow. I've never seen that movie.
No?
Because I'm a Christian.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just
we wouldn't
edit
go that
this
far
out. I'll just edit this right out.
I'm just kidding.
You don't know what pot smells like, and you okay.
I may not know who Amy Grant
really,
is, but
really,
I'm just kidding.
You're really honing your image. I just fiddle away. Yeah,
I know. Such an angel over there.
Yeah. So, but I mean, how do you, are you writing kind of personal stuff? You know, like you say, there's different sides. You've got the teardrop tattoo song, which is like a fun song about a person who's like not the greatest. But then your slow songs, like,
well,
I get like weepy in the car when you're like round and round and or, you know, don't cry. It's like, wow, those are really, really meaningful.
You. Well, I will say we actually didn't write Teardrop Tattoo, so we can't take any credit for
that.
That's the only song on the EP, the first EP that we didn't write. And that's actually a funny story because we recorded it. A friend gave us the demo and we heard it and immediately wanted to record it. And so we got into the studio, did the whole thing, put it on our album, released the album, started playing it live. And then somebody came up to us at a show and was like, hey, girls, do you know what a teardrop tattoo is?
Oh, you didn't know?
We didn't know. Yeah, no. We're like, it's a song about a
that's
breakup.
Interesting.
And, you know, you get a teardrop tattoo to keep your
I thought that was like an edge. Like, I'm going to join a gang.
It worked out like that. So it actually worked in our favor.
Yeah, there you go.
And a teardrop,
I just filled in.
Yeah, a teardrop tattoo, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know, is it's actually a gang symbol
for
if you've murdered someone while in prison. So yeah, it really fits well.
I think it adds an intense edge
my,
to that
my past,
a little
personally.
Intense.
I mean, I really, you know what all that's about.
So that's why you're distancing yourself. Like, that's the one we didn't write,
you know,
honestly.
That year of spiritual direction I referred to? I was
in
actually
prison.
In prison. I'm just
it was
kidding.
A prison chaplain.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? that's a story in itself.
I can't imagine. That's a better story though.
Yeah. It's like Orange is the New Lovelocks. That's what our next album's gonna be called.
Oh my god.
But yeah, we definitely write from very personal experiences.
Yeah.
And all of the songs on our upcoming album are very personal and very straight out of the storybooks of our lives.
Yeah.
And you know, of course,
it's a great line.
Thank you. Mm. You're always sort of looking for ideas.
Yeah.
So like, sadly, our partners, their lives are on display for the world to see, you know, and friends and people in our lives, we're always kind of looking for the next song to write about, or you know, you go through something hard. And
so if I hear you write a story about a podcast, like, it'll be pretty obvious.
Maybe.
Obviously. We're actually gonna have a songwriting session right after
this.
So stay tuned.
But it's funny because you get into these situations where you're hurt or you're upset or you're happy or whatever it is. And specifically, I had a moment not too long ago where I was upset about something, and like, I couldn't even allow myself to be upset. It was like, oh, how can I write about this? Like, I had this third voice inside my head that was like, oh, this would make a great song right now. And so that's kind of funny how you sort of become, you know,
like a spectator of your own life.
Of your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, and obviously every song has been written before, you know, like there's only so many ways to talk about love and the things you want to write about. So it's finding those new.
Well, that's when I was young, I was actually wondering, you know, when you're like 10 driving in the car and you've got nothing else to do, I was thinking like, when are we going to run out of songs?
Right.
Like, because of what you just said. Yeah. But
I always wonder,
know,
when are you
still
going to run out of notes?
Yeah. Okay. As a musician,
you know, because there's only 12.
Like, the sequences have got to be exhausted.
Yeah. And there's only so many ways to rearrange them. And,
yeah.
But we haven't.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah,
so
you guys.
Same with words, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more options.
Mm-hmm. not a lot of time left, so I kind of want to talk. We've hinted about God stuff, churchy stuff, Christian stuff. This is Wiki God, so I just wanted to kind of ask. You're not a Christian band, and it's interesting you mentioned that, like with the spiritual director, and that is an option. Was Zoe okay with not being like a Christian band? Did she want to be the Jesus Locks or
the Jesus Locks?
Well,
what a special name.
We are known as the Jesus Locks in Japan.
Yes, actually. Really. Well, everyone's known as something
else
in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we both, and so not only did we have music in common, but we were so, one of the reasons why this has been successful is that we are just such good friends first, you know, and I think what we had in common was that we had a very similar take on faith and a very similar sort of bone to pick with, you know, different representations of Christianity, whether it's, you know, as a band or on TV or whatever. We wanted it to be something that we could both really be true to ourselves and true to who we feel like God has made us, and not inauthentic in any way or put on, or and being a Christian band just didn't feel authentic.
Yeah.
So it was very easy.
And I think one thing that both Allie and I have experienced and learned is just this idea that Christians are needed outside of the Christian world.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, if you're called to be a plumber, you're not just going to work at Christians' homes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're going to go and you're going to, you know, fix the pipes at anybody's home and hopefully act with, you know, grace and integrity and kindness as you go through that process. And
there's
for us,
a really big pun there about crap. I'm just crap in people's lives.
Allie,
you know?
Rainey, she's going there, folks. She's going there.
She's plumbing the depths.
Yes, she is.
Of the plumbing.
Christians
puns.
Are needed wherever there's crap.
That's
okay?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Amen to that, sister.
Maybe Allie Mr. Calling is a plumber.
Well,
I'm not sure.
And right now, that artist part of herself is zooming out, like she said, and thinking, how can I make a song?
A song,
right?
Out of being a plumber.
Just you wait.
Mining the crap. Yes. But I think for us, too, another big thing that we've both learned is, you know, we both were music directors and we loved doing that for the period of time that we were doing it. But At a certain point, we both knew that that phase for us was over, and that it was time for us to move on to the next thing. And that experience stopped having life for both of us. And so we started exploring creativity and those areas that did have life for us. And we're both big believers that where there is life, there is God. And where there is passion and excitement and just that that feeling in your soul, like, yes, this is what I want to be doing. And this is what I'm created to do. You can't ignore those things, even if it doesn't fit in the box of what you thought it might. That God leads you to new places by listening to him and listening to those kind of internal leadings. And so for us, this whole journey has been that. If you had told me literally 5 years ago that I would be in a country music band with Allie Rainey, I would have laughed. I absolutely would have laughed in your face. And not because it wouldn't be something that I'd want to do. It's because I just never would have thought that that's where my life would end up. But I see God's handprint all over this experience. And, you know, and not every song that we have is going to point to Jesus necessarily, but is it going to spread love? Yes. Is it going to maybe captivate somebody to be interested in what we are doing? And then they'll hear the meaningful song that does, you know, point in a meaningful direction. So all those things, all those connections are there for us. And we want to keep exploring where God wants us.
Yeah.
I think too, so much of it is about everything else. You know, it's not just the music. It's about the relationships that we have with the people on our team, the other artists that we meet, the musicians that we're in a van going across the country with. And it's not like, you know, we're sitting there with any sort of intention, you know, the bait and switch, like you must know the Lord to be in our band or whatever. It's just like, we just want to love people and be representatives of Christ in a situation that isn't usually full of people who know Jesus and who, are intimately involved with God.
For some reason, artists tend to, I mean, you mentioned a plumber or just, I don't know, an accountant, or for some reason, those people aren't expected to put God or Jesus or faith on every page of their accounting report or every pipe that they install. But artists, for some reason, it's often like,
do it for the Lord.
You're either doing it for God or you're not.
Or you're selfish.
Or what that means. Like, can you be writing a song about love and the human experience of pain and loss and joy? And can that still be a God thing, a Christian thing? Can
Absolutely.
That still be 100%. A faith thing?
Yeah. I think God created beauty, you know, and if we can give beauty back, we can create something. God is the first creator, you know, we're made in his image. So wouldn't that mean that we are also creative in his image? And how wonderful is that we can give that back to the world in some way? And we always put everything through that lens of, you know, being women of faith, like even though we're not a Christian band and we don't go on platforms and wave the banner and go on, you know, the TV shows and do the whole thing, it's deeply, deeply central to who we are and the filter that we see everything through in the decisions we make with our branding, our, you know, our songwriting, how we conduct ourselves. Like, it's all very intentional, I guess, you know, and I think we're just trying to be as authentic to who we are and who we feel God wants us to be. And this is where he's placed us, you know. We're not leading worship at a Christian event or whatever, and we're fine with it. We're great with it. It's not where we're needed.
And frankly, this is where the doors are swinging open for us. So, you know, it's there's evidence that, just by the opportunities and the ways that we've grown individually, and just, the things that are ahead of us, that God is in this, because we couldn't have crafted this ourselves. It wouldn't have been possible.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's exciting.
It's a ride.
Just kind of is there something that you kind of hope to accomplish then in bringing your music to the world? Like, what would it be that you're you're not just aimlessly writing music, I wouldn't think. With with this much intention, with this much effort, with this much, like, everything you've described about the rhythms of your lives, and it's who you are. What is it? What's the big picture? What do you hope comes out of your music? Or
I think for me, if at the end of the day we're continuing to do what we love and we're continuing to be amazing friends. I mean, Allie and I have always said that it's friends first, like relationship first. So for me, we are successful if our relationship is intact and awesome, and if we're continuing to do what we love to do and continuing to pursue creativity, whatever that means, and what God has birthed inside of us and continues to birth inside of us. That for me is it. That is, quote unquote, making it. It's not the paycheck. It's really stepping into what we feel God has for us as women, as individuals, and as business partners.
Like, this is what you need to be doing to have kind of an abundant life for you. This is kind of the fullest version of you right now.
Yeah.
Is what you're doing.
And it's being cultivated. Yeah. It's not, I haven't arrived. I don't think either of us would say that we've arrived.
Definitely not.
I think this is a journey that, that we're being called to, so that God can continue to mold us and shape us into the woman who he's created us to be. And we're saying yes to that experience.
Yeah. I think for me, and it might sound cliche, but I mean it with my whole heart, I just want to be used, you know, and that's always been my prayer since I was a little girl. And so it's, you know, what I have to offer is on the table for God to use. And it might mean that I'm broke, you know, pursuing my dreams, which, quite frankly, you don't want to look at my bank account, but it's challenging. Like, there's, you know, a lot of struggle and there's a lot of uphill, but I feel so aligned with who I'm meant to be and what I was created for, just with that posture. And whenever I, you know, take it back and I clench my hands and say, like, no, it's mine. I, you know, I'm going to control this. That's where things go off the rails. You know, everybody has that experience. So I think it's really just as simple as that, just wanting to be used and to fulfill creation, like fulfill my role as the arm or the finger or the foot or the mouth or whatever my part of the body is. And I feel like music is my role. So I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know where we're going, but I'm in it and it feels right.
Yeah. I like how you said, you prefaced that by saying this might sound cliche or whatever, but like, maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's what you said. It's kind of that simple.
Yeah.
So I have no more questions about you guys. Just wondering.
Well, we have questions about you.
Yeah.
Turn this podcast over.
Okay. Yeah. Or turn it off. Your second, it's an EP, another EP coming out.
Seven songs.
It just says forthcoming on everything that I've read, and I'm so sick of seeing the word forthcoming. Is there any prediction? When are we getting more? When do we get more Love
Walks?
It's coming. Okay. It's coming.
I'm going to say that it will be out before the spring.
Okay.
So it's very soon.
Great.
And that's all we can say.
I'm happy with that. Spring is coming, as far as I know, so we can wait. Okay, good.
Yep, that's right.
That's excellent. It's Stay done? Tuned. Is it done-ish?
Oh,
done?
Yeah, it's totally done.
Oh,
it's
you're in just the can. Sitting on it? Come on.
And, well, we got plans. But, you know, if you want to know what they are, you can, I'm going to do the token.
Do
you can
it.
Follow along.
This is your chance.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
And at The Love Locks and at Hey Love Locks on Twitter or on Instagram. And we will be making some very big announcements very soon as to what's going to be happening next for us. So we're... Oh my gosh, it's very hard to sit on our hands.
Yeah.
This is difficult.
It's hard for us to
It's hard for us not to, you know, blurt out what's happening.
Yeah.
But very soon.
It's going to be awesome.
We're super proud of it.
Okay, good.
And we're really excited about it.
Good answer. So humble.
It's the best album you'll ever hear.
Well, I mean, you're the two singles are pretty awesome.
Well, we're just really excited about it. So we hope everybody likes this as much as we do.
Yeah.
You never know until you put it out there.
Honestly, if nobody likes it, I'm still happy, because it's the best work that I personally have ever done, and I'm so proud of us.
Me too.
And yeah, it's super exciting.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to that in the spring. One more reason to look forward to spring.
That's right. Yep.
Is there anything... How did this go for you? Is there anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to get off your chest? Any question I didn't ask? I felt like I misrepresented you?
We would love to talk to your boss.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, we have some feedback. We have some...
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, you don't have a boss.
This is my chance to plug BIC Canada. You want to talk to them?
No, this was great. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having us. Yeah. It's been a real pleasure.
This is our first podcast.
Yeah.
You can believe it.
Yeah, wow. It's true.
Yeah.
So hope we didn't screw it up.
No, yeah. I don't think you did.
I think this is the longest interview we've ever done. So nobody
but
normally
it didn't feel
lets
long.
Us.
It didn't
no,
feel long.
No, it didn't feel long. Good. But nobody normally lets us talk this long. So thank you.
It was dicey a couple times.
We're in our
but,
element.
We kept the tape rolling and I think it's redeemable.
I'm sure there'll be some edits later on.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, that was a whole lot of fun. Check out thelovelocksband.com to get all the music we were talking about and more, tour dates, where they're appearing. Look them up on iTunes and your music store, and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're everywhere on social media. Go explore and follow and support The Love Locks. Now make sure you subscribe to Wiki God on Face Strong today so you never miss an uncut episode of the show. To connect with me, you can email me at mark@wikigodpod.com or tweet me at markroll or at wikigodpod on Twitter. I love hearing your thoughts and feedback about the stuff you're hearing here. Now join us again right here on Faith Strong Today next week when we're wikiing God with minister, entrepreneur, and author of the book Life's Great Dare, Krista Hesselink. Man, what a conversation that is. I cannot wait to share it with you. But we gotta wait till next week. So in the meantime, have a good one, and I'll see you then. Thanks for wikiing.
Thanks for listening to WikiGod, presented by Faith Strong Today. Share this episode on social media and find more great programs at faithstrongtoday.com.